Power On.
Ask Drone You.
Hello, everybody. This is Rob.
And I'm Paul, and you're listening to another episode of Ask Drone You. If you remember, Rob, from yesterday, we were talking about the 33 rules or so that the Washington Post had come up with out of the Douglas Trudeau exemption. And we are going through those 33 rules and what we believe is really important and what we believe is absolute BS.
Absolutely. So again, welcome to episode number 20, as a matter of fact, of Ask Drone U. And we got through 17, I believe, yesterday of these interpretations, I guess you'd say, of the exemption that the FAA gave to Doug Trudeau. And we want to get the rest of these into you guys and get our thoughts out to you and then hopefully hear from you as to what your thoughts are.
Definitely. So let's get right back in it. Again, this was published by the Washington Post, and it's the Washington Post's interpretation of the rules necessary to make money with a drone. But Rob, you remember, we don't need the FAA's approval.
We don't need the FAA's approval.
Why is that?
Because they only... Because
there is no law.
Well, what I was gonna
guidelines
say.
Don't count as law.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
So, and the president admitted last week that, Rob, it's not even the morning right now.
I know.
All right, we're just going to get right into it. All right, number 18. UAS operations may not be conducted during night as defined by 14 CFR 1.1. You know, I would say that I agree, because if you have a problem, it's going to be really hard to find your drone. But one of my favorite times to fly is at night. But again, I'm an experienced flyer with years of experience.
And that's the key. Certainly when we're teaching people, especially people that haven't flown very much, like myself, stick to daylight.
Yeah,
stick
definitely.
To daylight for sure.
Definitely. All right, number 19. The UA may not operate within 5 nautical miles of an airport reference point as denoted on a current FAA-published aeronautical chart. So, I don't know if 5 miles is really necessary, but I would say 3 miles. And the reason I say 3 miles is if you actually look at the multiple reports from the FAA, they change back and forth from 3 to 5. But the DJI firmware won't let you go over a certain height, even when you're 3 miles away. You can still, you know, go up a few hundred feet like you saw me
do. Yeah, and like we've talked about, Paul, the issue there, I think even more than distance from the airport, is your elevation, how high you're going to go.
Absolutely, altitude. Absolutely. And you know what, guys? Use common sense. If don't fly closer than 3 miles to the airport, but if it's for a quick shot for a house and you're only going up 50 feet, you know, that's fine. But don't risk it. Don't get in any flight paths. Don't try to get a quick, cool shot of the airport. Is just not worth the trouble.
Yeah, and one of the things we've talked about, Paul, is calling the FAA and let them know, or calling the airport and letting them know that you're going to be flying. And we've kind of said, if you're not going to be going real high, then it's probably okay. But if you're, once you get to a certain point in terms of how close you are, maybe you should call regardless. What if you have a flyaway or something?
And, you know, that is a point. If you are flying, I would say, near the 3 mile mark away from an airport, you do need to notify ATC.
Again, not permission.
Correct. Not permission.
Notify
air traffic control that you are flying in that area, what area you're flying in, and what altitude you're flying at. This is really going to help us all avoid problems. So that's just really simple. It's one of those great common sense kind of things.
And we're trying to create an environment of trust and an ability to work together, not a combative situation.
Yeah, I could not agree more, Rob, even though I feel like punching you in the face right now.
I have no idea what that's about.
No, I'm totally kidding. Number 20.
I'm the old guy, I'd kick his butt.
The UA may not be operated less than 500 feet below or less than 2,000 feet horizontally from a cloud or when visibility is less than 3 statute miles from the... Okay.
Oh, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm going to move on to number 21. Okay. If the UA loses communications or loses its GPS signal, it must return to a predetermined location with a planned operating area. This just goes to show the FAA does not know what the...
Well, keep in mind, this is the Washington Post's wording.
I have the exemption right here.
I understand that.
I've got it printed out to go through it. But... oh, this makes no sense at all. If it loses its GPS signal, well, then how would it know where its home is?
This is what we call a Paul flyaway.
This is ridiculous. The only way, if you lose a signal, it's going to be your communication link, your control link. It's not going to be your GPS signal. If you lose your GPS signal, you're going to have serious problems.
So what we need is for the FAA to join DroneU. We can teach them these things.
I would just love to have one conversation with the FAA on an interview and say, in line 21, you talked about losing your GPS signal and still being able to go to a predetermined location. How is the drone going to know the predetermined location if it loses
the GPS?
This is ridiculous. I swear, we need more common sense people. One thing I hope that comes out of my generation, Rob, are people who are so fed up with politics and the way that they are, and they go and they change them.
You know how many generations before you have been saying that?
This is true.
I hope you're right. I'm counting on you.
I think Macklemore said it best. Don't let the money change you. Make the money. Don't make the money change you. It's a rap song.
Deep. I know who Macklemore is. I'm offended that you felt you needed to tell me that.
Oh,
anyway.
Sorry. All right, number 22. The PIC must abort the flight in the event of unpredicted obstacles or emergencies in accordance with operating documents. I think that's kind of a clear and common sense language. If you have an emergency, like your battery's dying, or
unpredicted obstacle, what, like in Albuquerque, maybe a hot air balloon flies in front of you. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either. But, you know, unpredicted obstacles. Oh, you know what would be a good example of that? When we were flying your house and I knocked into the, the chandelier?
Yeah, well,
well,
that was him showing off.
Meaning being able to hit something and still fly afterwards.
I think he was told, I bet you can't get real close to that chandelier.
Anyway, if you do have any problems, I do recommend to land in an emergency. Do you remember, Rob, the fastest way, and safest way to de-elevate?
You gotta go in circles.
In circles. That's right, like a tornado. So we're starting with the wide and then going further in.
Yep.
If you don't know how to make that movement with your drone, remember you want your thrust down so that you're going down at least 2 meters per second, but don't go over 2.5. You're gonna have problems. Also, make sure that your speed is over 6 meters per second if you're going down at 2. So we have a 3-to-1 ratio. Also, make sure that you are rolling about 75% and you're yawing at the same exact ratio that you're rolling. That way, you'll make those perfect circles.
So like we've said when we've talked about this, practice. Because everything he just said, he makes it sound so easy, and for him it is. And for some of you, it probably is. But for most, probably not.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just, again, it takes practice. The only way you get good at anything is practice.
That's right.
The 10,000 hour rule.
That's right.
You know?
Yep.
All right. 23. The PIC is prohibited. Every time I read PIC, I think partner in crime. Not pilot in command. The PIC is prohibited from beginning a flight unless there is enough power to fly at normal cruising speed to the intended landing point and land the UA with 30% battery remaining. I actually like that rule.
Yeah.
Because I teach people to land at 30% too, because if your voltage, if you're flying on a 3-cell battery and your voltage goes below 10.8 volts, you could have a battery failure on the next flight.
Yeah.
So I always tell my students, when you see 10.9 volts on your receiver, start coming down, because the next...
Circle down.
Yeah, circle down. So I think that's a... I think this is a good, actually, a little rule, number 23. All right, number 24, the operator must obtain an air traffic organization issued certificate waiver of...
Holy shamoly.
This is what I mean. This is why I think 333 exemptions are absolutely useless. What 24 is saying is that you need to apply for another certificate of waiver of authorization prior to conducting any operations under this grant of exemption. So there it is, the proof in the pudding.
So you get a call from a realtor, hey, I need you to come out to my house and fly tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this client, we need to get it online, get this house sold. they want you to do this.
And you know what? I would say this is something that Representative Titus brought up from Nevada. She goes, look, I love the fact that you're giving exemptions to our groups, but they are so fed up with the way this is going, they're doing their own thing.
Well, it's so cumbersome.
Yeah, why would I file for an exemption to file for more paperwork?
Right.
Hey, Rob, you want your driver's license?
I do want my driver's
license. Well,
you take a trip, right?
Every time you take a trip, though, you're going to have to file a piece of paperwork telling me where you're going
to
go.
Right, and then I got to give you a waiver. And I may choose not to give you a waiver.
And it may take me 5 weeks to grant you the waiver.
Sorry, kids, we're not going to Disneyland.
So that's the point. And I'll say I have a friend who has an exemption, and he has just ignored this 100% because...
Who will remain nameless.
Yeah, who will remain nameless. But think about this. Just going back to your example, if I get a phone call, which I did yesterday, I need you to fly a house Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Can you do it? Yes, I can. If I waited to file that paperwork with the FAA on a Friday, I've heard it takes 4 to 5 weeks.
Well, if you said, I've got to get my waiver, you know what the realtor's going to do?
Yeah.
I'll just call Joe Bob.
Exactly.
And fly a drone as well.
Yep.
I mean, they're just going to move on.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. All right, number 25. All aircraft operated in accordance with this exemption must be identified by serial number, registered in accordance with 14 CFR Part 47, and have identification markings in accordance with 14 CFR Part 45. Subpart C markings must be as large as practical.
Can you put that in layman's terms?
This makes sense to me. Okay, grab my remote right behind you. So this makes sense to me because when you get insured, you have to have a serial number on everything that you use.
Yeah.
And they provide you with stickers that correspond with your insurance policy. So if your drone's ever found and they find it and they say, oh, well, is there a number on there? That number corresponds to the insurance company, Transport Risk Management. And then the number, the last three numbers of my policy, 781. So they know that I own this.
Okay.
They know it's insurance. So I would say I agree with identifying the vehicle, but to put markings that are as large as practical, I mean, let's talk about the rule of signage, right? For every 1 inch of font, you can see that from 10 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
How large a font do you think I could put on my Phantom?
Not very large.
Maybe
14, 16, 18 at the most?
14.
The size?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like the font size, as in like word. Oh, I meant like actual inches, but... looking behind you, there's a Phantom right behind you. You could fit maybe like, what, a 1.5 inch?
Maybe.
So you're going to see it from, what, 10 feet away?
Yeah.
If you can read the identification number from 10 feet away, you're way too close to my drone.
Well, you're going to look like that guy that you just showed me the picture of.
Man, who cut his face up.
Nose. Did you see that? You guys got to check that out.
We'll post it sometime just for fun.
It ain't fun.
I think it's hilarious. Reason number, blah, 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 blah. You need drone training.
That's right. And no selfies with your drone.
Oh, man. That's going to be... We should run that. All right. Number 26. Before conducting operations, the radio frequency spectrum used for operation and control of the UA must comply with FCC or other appropriate government oversight agency requirements. So anything that's sold in the United States has to go through an FCC application process anyway. So we can see on my remote, I have an FCC number. So I know right away that I'm compliant. If you're flying any DJI product, you're compliant as well.
Pretty much if you're buying the equipment, it's going to be compliant. They've gone through the process.
Yes.
But double check.
Yeah. 27, the documents required under this and 91.203 must be available to the PIC at the ground control station of the UAS at any time it is operating. These documents must be made available to the administrator or any law enforcement official upon request.
Which they're not even going to know to request it,
I would
imagine.
Number 28, the UA must remain clear and yield the right of way to all manned aviation operation activities at all times. I couldn't agree with that one more. 29. The UAS must not be operated by the PAC from any moving device or vehicle. I disagree with this one.
Tell us why. I know you've done some stuff from boats.
I've done a lot of stuff from boats, and I've done stuff from cars and ATVs as well. Why? Well, if you're trying to do long-distance flights and you're trying to actually fly somewhat in accordance to the guidelines of the FAA. They say fly in line of sight. Well, in order to get these long shots where you're trying to showcase that you're traveling long distances.
Maybe around a corner, different things like that.
Yeah, a big reveal over a mountain or over a hill. Yeah, I mean, this makes no sense to me, especially if you are on a lake and you're flying from a boat, which I do often. If you don't know, I am the pilot for Borders Magazine, and we do a lot of videos with drones, and I'm always flying from a boat. So,
and this is a bit more of an advanced operation. So again,
yes,
work up to this.
Yes. The UA may not be operated over congested or densely populated areas.
Absolutely.
I would agree, but here's the kicker, Rob, and something that we have to be aware of. The FAA defined a densely populated area as a one person in 1 square mile.
No.
Yeah, it's on the
Seriously.
FAA website. Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
So it depends on how you define densely and or populated. Remember, the rules here at DroneU, you're never flying over people. You're never flying over people at events. If you're filming an event, fly to the side, fly from behind. Don't fly right over them. It's just not smart.
As we always say, common sense.
Yes.
Use common sense.
All right. Flight operations must be conducted at least 500 feet from all non-participating persons, vessels, vehicles, structures, unless barriers or structures are present that sufficiently protect non-participating persons from the UA or debris in the event of an accident. So if you like that, the operator must ensure that non-participating persons remain under such protection. How are you gonna tell passerbys to remain under protection when you're flying? This would make sense if you're doing an event, mm-hmm. but even when I did the FAA sanctioned event, they didn't have this.
Yeah,
so
they were there.
So BS, 31 BS, 32. All operations shall be conducted over private or controlled access property with permission from the landowner and or controller of authorized representative. Permission must be from landowner, controller, or authorized representative and will be obtained for each flight to be conducted. Well, here at DroneU, we talk about this. This is actually a law, an FCC law, not an FAA law. It's the only law that applies to you flying drones. It's called the right of publicity. And what you need to get is a permission slip and a property release form, which we have the most easy and convenient way to obtain, which is through the app called Legal Flyer. And that way you can have your permission very easily from your iPad or iPhone. Very, very, very good.
Very cool. Very handy. That's right.
Definitely.
And that's just a matter of respecting people's property.
Absolutely. And respecting their privacy as
well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know? Because there is a reasonable right to privacy, you know?
Of course.
And what I mean by reasonable is when you're out in public, you dress up, you get ready to be seen in public.
Yeah.
You have no reasonable right to privacy in public. But when you're in your house, when you're on your lawn, when you're holding your beer and your hose and you're mowing down the driveway, you know, yeah, you have some sort of privacy to an extent.
Absolutely.
So, all right, last one. Any incident, accident, or flight operation that transgresses the lateral or vertical boundaries of the operational areas defined by the applicable COA must be reported to the FAA's UAS Integration Office within 24 hours. Accidents must be reported to the NTSB per instructions contained on the NTSB website.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, you should be logging your accidents. I wouldn't recommend flying your drone after an accident, but that's just me.
What do you mean by that? Oh, you mean flying that drone?
Yeah. I mean, if it's a bad accident and you like accidentally canter a motor or you get dust in your ESC, all you need is for that dust to be statically charged to close the circuit on the ESC. You fry the ESC literally catches on fire mid-flight, you lose a motor, and not only do you have an accident in a crash drone, but you have a fiery accident with crash drone and a LiPo on board.
Not
so
good.
You have a floating bomb, essentially.
Yeah, not good. So don't do that.
Don't do that. Anyway.
Well, and that kind of goes back to, I mean, if you've had an accident, obviously one of the rules here is to inspect before you fly.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you should be inspecting after an accident.
Yes, yes.
In a little bit more detail, perhaps.
So the long and the short here, the short is common sense really prevails. The long is that the FAA really has no clue what they're talking about. And this goes back to the problem, the fundamental problem with the FAA. You have people who are involved with aviation, trying to create rules for something that flies very differently, operates very differently, and is even, it just has different, you know, a whole different sense of movement. You know, with a plane, you can't move a plane in reverse.
Sure.
You know, you can't move a plane on a diagonal axis in reverse. You know, you can't move it in any direction. It's not geofenced, you know?
Yeah.
So, FAA, if you're listening to this, we like you. We just think you need some guidance.
And, join Drone U.
And we advocate for clear rules like you see in Canada.
Very much.
I believe the count with Canada is now over 1,600, and the USA is, I think, at 18 now.
So how does that extrapolate to, like, a hockey match? That'd be like...
This would be like the Canadians winning the Super Bowl. No, this would be like the Canadians winning the Stanley Cup and the USA being the five-year-old teen girl cheerleader that's on the sidelines.
Wow, I wasn't going there, but I'm
guess, sorry. Well, I said girl and five-year-old because they don't have, they haven't hit the age of reasoning yet.
Okay. Either way, Canada seems to be a little bit ahead of us in getting this into an efficient
it's
model.
It's just so simple. Ugh. Make it simple. We're killing our economy, guys.
And but, as drone operators, we can make it simple in the way that we handle our business.
Yes, and you know, and that's what we have to say this every time. We have to be advocates for the drone industry. We have to educate people on the value. Why are drones necessary for the improvement of society? Why are they necessary for even efficiency of farmers, the efficiency of journalists, for so many different things? We have to showcase them why it's important, but that we fly responsibly, we fly safely, and we fly with ethical and moral compass.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you break it down like that, it's like you said, it's simple. Let's not overcomplicate it.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it for us today, guys. If you have a question, make sure to go to our website, thedroneu.com, and click Ask Drone U, where we will answer your questions, relevant or not, concerning the drone industry, or maybe if you have a problem with your setup and your build. Let us know, and we're here to help you out. Well, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
And this is Ask the Drone U.
Ask Drone U. Ask Drone U. Ask Drone U.